October 25th, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And you know, it is that time of the year where Halloween is almost here. That's right. Halloween is next Tuesday. And of course, that means we're going to have costumes. We're going to have trick-or-treating. Maybe you're going to go check out a haunted house. Maybe you're going to watch some scary movies. But you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about the world of sports, of course. That's just what I do. And I was thinking about the scariest athletes in sports history. Because, you know, we have had some legit scary athletes in history. I mean, think of like boxing. You had Mike Tyson. You had George Foreman. Those guys would knock you unconscious. Some bad dudes. You go over the world of football. You had Ronnie Lott. Or maybe Lawrence Taylor, Jack Tatum, maybe a running back like an Earl Campbell. Again, those guys would also knock you unconscious. They were legitimately scary. You move to the world of basketball, you had the Bad Boy Detroit Pistons. I mean, those guys went out and physically tried to maim you. They didn't make any bones about it. Come in the paint, we're going to knock you down. Too bad. You don't like it? Tough. Make the free throws. But you had Charles Oakley. You had Charles Barkley. You had Buck Williams. You had Gary Payton. And I'm not going back as far as like the 50s or the 60s. I'm talking about my era. I'm talking about like the 80s, 90s. You went back that far. There are some bad dudes. In the world of baseball, obviously you go back further. You get into like Bob Gibson. Tough dude. You want to crowd the plate? I dare you. Go ahead. But even in my era, we had like Nolan Ryan. We had Randy Johnson. I mean, those guys could kill you with one of their pitches. You had Frank Thomas. I remember Reggie Jackson and Pete Rose. Want to throw at them? I mean, they're going to come after you. They're going to slide in cleats high. Too bad. Deal with it. That's just how the game was played. You move over to hockey. Goodness. Hockey was a completely different sport. Bob Probert. I mean, come on. Dude had more than 200 fights. You had Dave Tiger Williams. I mean, Williams served like 4,000 penalty minutes. Tony Twist is one of the scariest human beings to ever lace up a pair of ice skates. But, you know, I was thinking about that this weekend, and I was thinking about who are the scariest athletes in the world today? Because it's a different world. So many sports have tried to limit the physicality. They're trying to be more careful about injuries. And that's fine, and I understand it. But you don't have those scary players anymore. I mean, you think of today, this generation, who are the scary athletes? Like Patrick Mahomes? Maybe Steph Curry? Don't get me wrong, they're scary. They never let you feel comfortable against them. Because it seems like they always find a way to beat you, but it's not the same kind of fear factor, is it? It's not scary like it used to be. I guess like a LeBron James can be scary as a player coming down the lane. He's a big dude. But also the next fight he gets into is going to be his first. NFL defenders like a TJ Watt or a Joey Bosa, they're disruptive. I don't know that they're scary. I don't know that you stay up nights worried about them. Maybe Cleveland Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett, maybe he's the scariest guy, especially if he rips off your own helmet and then tries to kill you with it. You know, it used to be Tennessee running back Derrick Henry. And at times he can still be scary, but it seems like he's kind of peaked. He's kind of on his way, you know, on the other side. Not quite as scary as he used to be. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill. He's got scary speed, no question. And if you're his kid, I mean, you're probably scared anytime he comes home from a loss. I guess if you went into the world of like fighting or boxing, maybe, you know, John Jones. John Jones is a pretty scary dude. Probably the baddest dude to ever do it in MMA. Tyson Fury, scary guy, big, talented. He's a giant human being. But it is kind of strange, right? Like back in those old days where I grew up, and I know, old. Yeah, telling you about the old days. But we had legit scary people in the world of sports. You think of those 70s Raiders or 70s Steelers teams. There were some scary dudes on there. They didn't call him Mean Joe Green because he was nice. He was a scary dude. He's a bad man. Now, I don't know. It's not quite the same. Back then, you had people that literally might murder you. I'm not really sure. And yet, when I think back to those times, think back to the 70s, 80s, into the 90s, some scary people, don't get me wrong, in the world of sports. But life in the United States, relatively peaceful, pretty calm. We weren't at war. We weren't doing anything like that. Now, we no longer have the scary athletes, but we've got lawlessness. We've got chaos in the streets. People are fighting at games. Every single game, there is another video of yet another fight in the stands. What is going on? We need more scary people on the field and less scary people in the stands. Right now, I'm more scared of the people in the stands than the people down on the field. What in the world has happened? We've got wars raging around the world. Our president is literally asleep in his soup. He has no idea what's going on. I don't know. I know that we had to clean up the world of sports. We had to make them a little more safe. We made sports a little more high scoring. They're a little more finesse. And yet, I don't know. I'm just saying, it seems like I slept a lot better back in the days of scary athletes instead of scary people than I do right now. Those days are missed a lot by myself, and I'm sure by many, many others. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. You need to go over there and check them out. You never know what's over there. Sometimes it might take more of a local slant. Sometimes it might take more of a satirical slant, but you want to make sure that you stop by and check out what is going up there. Plus, we do put links to the podcast. We do have links to the YouTube video. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need a new t-shirt, a new sweatshirt, a new hoodie, we've got coffee mugs. We've got pillowcases. What better way to go to sleep at night than to lay down on your Daily Dose pillowcase? But do not forget, the holiday season is creeping up on us. If you're looking for a gift, if you're looking for something along those lines, you might want to make sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com and check out what is going on over there. Hey, today on the show, we are now right about halfway through the college football season, almost there. And we're getting close to the halfway point with the NFL as well. So do we know who's going to win the college football title? Of course not. Do we know who's going to win the Super Bowl? No, not yet. But do we know who isn't winning anything this year? Maybe. We're going to be discussing which teams can already begin to set their sights on next year.
And another thing, just wait till next year.
Plus, with Halloween coming, we do have some Halloween costume ideas. So make sure you stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5. But first, you know, I know that last night was just a Tuesday night in October. So can someone please explain, why was I burning through the batteries on my TV remote? I mean, we had the NBA season tipping off, my Denver Nuggets playing the Los Angeles Lakers on opening night, which, one brief side note on that whole thing. You know, the NBA on TNT, they had been putting out promos for opening night. And on their promo, they had like a little kind of poster thing they were putting up. And on that promo, they featured Jason Tatum, a Celtic, Steph Curry, a Warrior, LeBron James, a Laker, and Kevin Durant, a Phoenix Sun. A Denver Nugget was nowhere to be found. Really? I mean, seriously? You want to talk about disrespect for the champions? No Nuggets? They didn't even make the poster. Come on. NBA on TNT, you're better than that. Then, all the Nuggets did was go out on the night, I might add, that they're unveiling their banner. They're getting their rings. Oh, but they're facing the Lakers. Hey, I hate those kind of games. I hated them when I was coaching. And you had like parents' night. There's so many distractions. There's a lot of emotion. There's so many bad things that can happen. And we saw that last night. The Nuggets didn't look sharp. So they went out and they beat the Lakers by a dozen. Yeah, it didn't seem to matter. And, you know, the poster that everybody put up, got to get LeBron on there. Yeah, no Nuggets. Nuggets go out there and win. Nikola Jokic goes for another triple-double. Just what he does every single night he steps on the floor. But that wasn't all. It wasn't just the NBA. We also had the frozen frenzy in the NHL with a million games going at once. My home team, Colorado Avalanche, by the way, who have started off red hot this season. They were 5-0. They had to battle past and beat the New York Islanders last night. Finally got that win. They are now 6-0. Hey, they're rolling. But that wasn't it either. Then we also had the National League Championship Game 7 in Major League Baseball between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm telling you, I was flipping all over the place. I couldn't keep up with everything that was going on. It was amazing. I know we talk about this here on The Dose every so often, but this time of year, I don't know. It might be the best time of year. You've got college football. You've got the NFL. They are both rolling. You've got Major League Baseball. We're getting to the World Series now. You had two game sevens in the championship series. Oh, and the NHL is going. The NBA is going. Honestly, it's just such a lovely time of year. Fall? I don't know. It just doesn't get a whole lot better than that. Let's jump into those Major League Baseball playoffs, though, where the World Series is now set. Last night, it was, like I said a minute ago, the Arizona Diamondbacks facing the Philadelphia Phillies in Philadelphia for Game 7. After the Phillies, I mean, they had looked like they were going to run away with this series. They were up 2-0. But what can you say about Arizona? I mean, remember Arizona? They limped into the postseason. They barely even made the playoffs. Back on August 11th, the Arizona Diamondbacks were 57-59. They weren't even going to make the postseason. Suddenly, they get rolling a little bit for a while. Then they kind of fall apart a little bit right at the end of the year. They scrape in as a wild card. Okay, big deal. They probably won't go anywhere. They beat the Brewers. Okay. They beat the Los Angeles Dodgers. Wait, what? Okay. But then they go down 2-0 to Philadelphia. And honestly, it felt over. And then they win 2 at home. And then they end up winning 2 in a row to finish off the Phillies. Honestly, making a lot of people around the country really happy, too, because we know how those Philly fans are. So obnoxious. So loud. You know a lot of the nation is happy about that. But, I mean, when you think about the Diamondbacks, what do you think of? This team doesn't hit home runs. They have to grind. They have to go to their bullpen often. They somehow limited that monster Philadelphia lineup to just 3 runs in their last 18 innings. Unbelievable. The Arizona Diamondbacks come out of nowhere to win the National League pennant. And for the first time in 7 years, we will have a World Series that will not feature either those Los Angeles Dodgers or the Houston Astros. Again, the nation rejoices. After giving up a 2-0 lead to the Astros and falling behind 3-2 after Game 5, the Texas Rangers battled back. They win the final 2 games of that series, and they win the American League pennant. In fact, games 6 and 7, they were complete domination. The Rangers crushed Houston by a combined score of 20-6. Wow. Pitcher Nathan Eovaldi dominated both Game 2. He did it again in Game 6. And then in Game 7, it was the play, as it has been lately, of Corey Seager. And then Adolis Garcia smacked that laser grand slam in the top of the ninth to put the Rangers up 11-4. And they win their first American League pennant since 2011. But you know, there are a few crazy things to think about when you think about this American League championship. First, the defending World Series champion Houston Astros, they're finally knocked off. They're finally gone. What is a little odd about that, though, is that they lost at home. And at home this year, the Astros went 40-47. They were 0-4 in this series. They won all three of their games that they did win at Texas. And then they go back to Minute Maid Park, one win away, and their pitching staff just got blasted. 20 runs in the final two games. This is a little strange, right? Like, what was going on at home? I don't know. Kind of needed those garbage cans. Here's another strange item. Rangers manager Bruce Bochy, who came out of retirement this year to manage the Rangers, he became the first manager to win a league championship series with three different teams. Because you'll remember, he led San Diego and San Francisco. Now he takes the Texas Rangers. Also, do you realize Bochy, in his 26-year career, he's never lost a Game 7? Dude is 3-0 in Game 7s. Bochy's Giants beat the Cardinals back in 2012, and they beat the Royals in 2014. And now this year, the Rangers beat the Astros. But wait, there's more. Astros manager Dusty Baker, he's never won a Game 7 in his 26-year career. He is now 0-4. Remember back in 2002, his Giants lost to the Angels. 2003, his Cubs lost to the Marlins. And while Baker was managing the Astros, Houston has now lost to the Rays and now to the Rangers. I mean, honestly, these stats sound fake, but they're absolutely not. What a wild Major League Baseball postseason we have seen this year. Okay, coming back. The college football and NFL seasons are cruising along, but even though it is only October, there are already a number of teams that we're going to say, yeah, wait till next year too. Which teams are not going to be winning a title this year? We're going to give you a number of them when we get back. So the college football season is nearly at the halfway point right now. And while we still have a lot to learn, and based on history, we know that things are never quite as they seem. Like, we're looking right now and we're like, well, if this team keeps winning and this team keeps winning and this team beats this team, then these are the teams that are getting into the college football playoff. And yet, why is it that things never quite turn out that way? But, you know, there are also some teams out there that at the beginning of the year, and even early into the season, they were being considered maybe possible college football playoff favorites. This team might get in. But we are here to tell you right now, they're not going to make it. Yeah, you can play out the string. I understand you got to finish up your games, but make no mistake, you're not going to the college football playoff. You're not winning a title. There's not going to be a parade for you. Just wait until next year because your season is done. I'm going to give you some teams right now. We already know you're not winning the title this year. We might have thought you had a chance going into the season. You got no chance whatsoever now. Let's start off with the newest addition to this list, and that goes to the previously undefeated North Carolina Tar Heels. You know, UNC was 6-0. They were feeling strong. Quarterback Drake May, he might be a sneaky Heisman candidate. And yeah, the defense wasn't always looking great, but hey, Mack Brown had this group believing they might be a playoff contender. Yeah, that's over. On Saturday, that crappy Carolina defense allowed the University of Virginia to score 31 points. And down go the Tar Heels to an unranked team, 31-27. Hey, this team was already iffy because they have a really soft schedule. But losing to Virginia, yeah, that kills any chance that they had. North Carolina, better luck next year. Ain't going to happen this year. You know, the next team up, they were hardly a favorite going into the season. But there was talk that maybe the Tulane Green Wave, I mean, remember they were coming off that bowl win over USC? They were returning most everyone. So maybe Tulane could be that group of five team that made a push for the playoff. Nope. They got blown out 37-20 by Ole Miss back in week two. And I mean, Ole Miss is fine, but they aren't like elite. That loss dooms any chance Tulane had at getting into the playoff. Again, better luck next year. You know, the Miami Hurricanes, they can start looking forward to next year. Mario Cristobal's team, they've been a little better this year. But back-to-back losses to Georgia Tech and North Carolina, yeah, that's ended their year. Here's what's worse. Cristobal's clock management and time and score coaching situations. Miami hasn't just lost games. They have lost them at times in the dumbest ways possible. Sorry, Miami, like you've been saying for 20 plus years now, just wait till next year. Speaking of Miami, we can also go ahead and eliminate the Clemson Tigers from any sort of playoff conversation because Miami beat them 28-20 this past Saturday. Now, Clemson already had losses to Duke and to Florida State. So Dabo Swinney's team now has three losses on the year. Hey, that's pretty disappointing for a team that was going to the playoff pretty much every year. Clemsoning now seems to be back as the Tigers are finding new inventive ways to lose games. You know, there was talk Clemson might be back this year. Those rumors turned out to be false. Just wait till next year. Let's add another team whose season recently ended, and that, of course, is the Penn State Nittany Lions, who lost 20-12 to Ohio State on Saturday. Look, it wasn't just that Penn State lost. It was the way they lost. The Penn State defense, they looked like they legit might be playoff caliber. Not so for the offense. The Nittany Lions were held to 1 of 16 on third downs. They converted one third down all day. They had just 240 total yards. Had they competed a little, just a little bit more, I think people might look at Penn State and say, well, maybe if things fall right, they could still be a playoff contender. After that game on Saturday, though, I doubt it. And don't look now, but Penn State, you've got to host Michigan in a few weeks. Based on what we saw against Ohio State, I don't see that going well for them at all. Sorry, Penn State, but look forward to next year. You know they had some questions about their defense going into the season, but there were a number of Notre Dame fans that were hoping this just might be a special season. After getting quarterback Sam Hartman in the transfer portal, hey, the Irish had their best quarterback going back probably to the days of like Brady Quinn. Unfortunately, it hasn't been enough. Notre Dame lost a heartbreaker to Ohio State back in week five. Then they followed that up by getting blown out by Louisville. Now, I will give this group some credit because they have rallied to beat Duke and then they rallied to beat Southern Cal after each of those losses. But as far as like actual playoff hopes, they would need way more than just the luck of the Irish. They would need everyone else to lose to even have a prayer. Sorry, Notre Dame, you're going to have to look forward to next year. Speaking of USC, yeah, the Trojans, your year's over. You can start looking forward to next year too. And I'm not sure if they're going to have Caleb Williams or not. Maybe he'll stay there just to avoid a pay cut. But after dropping their second loss in a row, this time to Utah, the Trojans are done for the year. There's already talk. Should Caleb Williams just sit out the rest of the year? I think that would be an absolutely horrible look for him. But hey, that USC defense is terrible. Williams is asked to do a ton, and he's struggling at times. And of course, the critics are going to come out more harsh on him this year. And we are left once again to wonder if head coach Lincoln Riley can ever build a complete team, because we haven't seen it yet. Also, brief side note here on the dose. I have heard from a few listeners asking if Caleb Williams can actually ask for an ownership stake in whatever NFL team might draft him. Understand this, that actually isn't even a possibility. Because as a partial owner, he would basically be able to make his player's salary non-existent on the salary cap. So this is a lot to do about literally nothing, because it's not even allowed. NFL rules would prohibit this. Good try, sports media world, at acting like Caleb Williams is acting for something crazy. That's not even something he could ask for by league rules. Two more teams that we still need to add to our wait till next year list. And we're going to start with the Tennessee Volunteers, who already had a 13-point loss to Florida early this year. And honestly, I watched that game. I still don't understand it. Tennessee just looked terrible. But then on Saturday, they looked great in one half and terrible in the second half. Do you realize Tennessee had a 20-7 lead this past Saturday against Alabama at halftime? The Vols then allowed Alabama to run off 27 straight points. And fat Justin Timberlake's offense never scored again. Bama rolled to a 34-20 win. Hey, there's no doubt Tennessee is talented this year, but they are clearly not capable of having nice things. Better luck next year, Tennessee. This was not your year. We finish off our just wait until next year segment in the world of college football, at least. And we're going to finish with a team that was strongly being considered this year for the college football playoff, but they have not fared well when they face the big dogs in their schedule. And I'm talking, of course, about the LSU Tigers. After going 10-4 last year in Brian Kelly's first season, we all thought, hey, LSU just might be poised to take that next step. They are returning most everyone. Yeah, they were not ready to take that next step. They opened the season by getting throttled by Florida State 45-24. Okay, that's bad. But maybe it was just like an early season fluke. Maybe they just came out flat in the first game. No, because then LSU also lost to Ole Miss a few weeks ago, and they allowed 55 points in that loss. Next up for Ole Miss, yeah, Alabama in Tuscaloosa, I might add. Remember when Brian Kelly was at Notre Dame, and we all talked about how they blow out bad teams, but it seems like they always lose to the top teams? But hey, maybe that's just because Notre Dame, you know, they have those recruiting restrictions. Or maybe it's because Brian Kelly just gets outcoached by the better coaches in this world. Either way, LSU, you can start looking forward to next year right about now, because your season is over.
And another thing, just wait till next year.
Okay, but let's shift over to the NFL, and we're going to tweak this just a little bit, because some of the teams I'm going to give you today, I believe they're going to the playoffs. But what I'm saying is they can start looking forward to next year, because I have zero faith in them winning the Super Bowl. Do we know who is going to win the bowl this year? No, not yet. But out of 32 teams, I am going to eliminate right now 22 of them. Put a fork in them. They're done. Go ahead and start looking forward to next year, because you're not winning anything this year. Let's start off with a team that has beaten a few good teams. And while their defense looks very good, I have no reason whatsoever to think that the New York Jets have a prayer of winning a Super Bowl this season. Hey, the Jets, like I said, they have a good defense, no question. They're allowing just 19 points a game while facing, I might add, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Bills, and the Eagles. But that offense in New York, it is terrible. Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, he's not getting any improvement at a quarterback Zach Wilson. The Jets passing game is ranked 32 out of 32 teams. Hey, defense wins championships, and they do have a running game, but you have to be able to move the chains, and the Jets can't do that. They are very one-dimensional, And that isn't going to work against the good teams if they do make the postseason. Sorry, Jets. Start looking forward to next year. Maybe you'll get Aaron Rodgers back. The New England Patriots got a big win on Sunday. They knocked off the Buffalo Bills at home. And head coach Bill Belichick won his 300th game as head coach. But this isn't a very good team. You know, Mac Jones, he's got to be the worst quarterback in the AFC East, doesn't he? They can't run the ball. They can't score points. The Patriots' defense is capable, at least, but they're asked to do way too much. They end up wearing down. Remember, this team was beaten by the Cowboys and the Saints in back-to-back weeks by a combined score of 68-3. Hey, the Patriots are not a good team. Yeah, they can go ahead and start looking forward to next year. Now, I realize this next team, they're going to probably make the playoffs. They should. They have a lot of talent. But the Dallas Cowboys, yeah, they're not winning a Super Bowl yet again this year. There are a few problems with the Cowboys. One, the defense, I don't believe, is nearly as good as advertised. They are primarily only good against poor quarterbacks. Look it up. That's when they're at their best. Second, quarterback Dak Prescott, he's just incapable of making clutch plays when the game is on the line. He has a proven history of not getting it done when he has to. And to be fair, this isn't all his fault. Name Dak's best possession receiver. He doesn't have like that Jason Witten kind of tight end. He doesn't have that security blanket player that he just goes, hey, when things are bad, I go to them. They'll bail me out. And as a result, Dak tends to force things downfield. He gets himself into trouble. Now, I'm trying to think of who's responsible for getting a guy like that for Dak Prescott. Who's the Cowboys GM again? Oh, yeah. Hey, better luck next year. You're not winning anything this year. The New York Giants surprised everyone by making the playoffs last year, and they stole a win this past Sunday against Washington with Tyrod Taylor starting at quarterback. But this is another bad football team. The Giants rank near the bottom of every single stats category that exists. Do you realize they have a point differential of minus 96? Yeah, it's looking like last year was kind of a fluke and maybe the result of such a soft schedule. The New York Giants, they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. They can start looking forward to next year. Speaking of those Washington Commanders, yeah, they're not sniffing a Super Bowl either this year. And I will give you one specific reason. While their defense is at times okay, and quarterback Sam Howell, he's actually a little bit better than maybe we expected. But do you realize that through their first 7 games, Sam Howell has been sacked 34 times? Okay, I was told there would be no math. Let's see, that's 5 times a game. That means in 17 games, Sam Howell should be sacked 83 times. That would break the record of David Carr's 76 sacks when he was in Houston. The only thing standing in Howell's way of breaking that record, honestly, is his own health, because I'm not sure how much more abuse he can take. Washington, you're not winning anything this season. Start looking forward to next year. I'm going to eliminate the Pittsburgh Steelers from the ranks of being a Super Bowl contender. The Steelers' offense, just not very good. And it isn't one-dimensional. It's kind of no-dimensional. The Steelers average 15 points a game. They are ranked 27th in passing and 30th in rushing. And the defense, it's not great. I mean, I expect the Steelers to make a push to the playoffs, because that seems to just be what Mike Tomlin teams do. But anything more than that, yeah, it's just not realistic. Pittsburgh, start looking forward to next year. The Cleveland Browns got a wild win on Sunday over the Indianapolis Colts, and I hope they enjoy that win, because they're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. The Browns are a really, really strange team. I mean, think about this. They have a really good defense, right? Right? They do, I think. Right? But they allowed 38 points to Gardner Minshew and the Colts on Sunday. It's kind of odd. The Browns paid quarterback Deshaun Watson $230 million, but he hasn't been playing the last few weeks, and we're not really sure why. He got hurt on Sunday. They say he got a concussion. Maybe. We're not sure about that either. The Browns have talent. That's a weird team. They're not winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. I'm going to place the Green Bay Packers on our Better Luck Next Year list because, well, for one, they lost to my Denver Broncos on Sunday, so there's no way they're good. But this is a team that has a number of flaws. Big surprise, quarterback Jordan Love, he's actually not as good as Aaron Rodgers was last year. I know. Shocking, right? But that defense is significantly worse. The Packers' defense is allowing over 140 yards per game on the ground. That's a killer because it wears you out. It allows the play-action passing game to work better. And as the game wears on, you get more and more tired. It keeps your offense off the field. Hey, the Green Bay Packers, they're a very young team. And they can go ahead and start looking forward to next year because they're not doing anything this year. The Minnesota Vikings, they're not going to win a Super Bowl this year either. After having everything break their way last year, they won every close game. All the breaks are going against them this year, and the Vikings are a mess. Now, wide receiver Justin Jefferson is injured. Remember, quarterback Kirk Cousins is scheduled to be a free agent after this year, which means, I mean, the Vikings might be in for a big transition after this season. Sorry, Vikings. Not going to win it this year. Let's see what you do next year. The Chicago Bears enjoyed their best win of the season this past Sunday. They actually managed to blow out the Las Vegas Raiders 30-12. That's the good news. It's going to go downhill from here. The Bears are now winning games without starting quarterback Justin Fields. And instead, with a quarterback named Tyson Bagent, a kid that played his college ball at Shepherd University in West Virginia, wherever that is. So maybe Bagent is the answer. Maybe he's the key. Or maybe the Bears are a mess. They were fortunate to play the Raiders on Sunday. Hey, the Bears' defense is bad. Their pass rush is among the worst in the NFL. We will see if Tyson Bagent makes Justin Fields sweat getting his job back. That might be interesting. But the Bears, yeah, they're going nowhere this year. The Indianapolis Colts, they're not a Super Bowl contender. They can start looking forward to next year too. They lost rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson for the year to a shoulder injury. But Gardner Minshew, he actually looks like he's better suited to be the starter anyways, at least right now. The Colts look the best they have looked in a few years, honestly. But that defense, it's bad. They allow more than 25 points per game. This team has no consistency, and I still contend it all starts at the top with that crazy owner. Sorry, Colts. You're out. Better luck next year. The Tennessee Titans won't be winning the Super Bowl this year either. They have one of the worst quarterback situations in the NFL right now. Ryan Tannehill is always injured, and when he is healthy, he seems to just throw a lot of interceptions. The backup situation is even more bleak. Malik Willis and Will Levis, they look to be completely incapable of playing at this level. They can't even function in a real NFL game. They are terrible. Now, maybe this is poor draft research by the Titans. Maybe it's poor quarterback development. I don't know. But either way, the Titans could make the playoffs because their division is so soft, but they're not going to win anything if they do. Sorry, Titans. Start looking forward to next year and maybe bring in a quarterback coach. You know, I really like what the Houston Texans are doing this year. New head coach D'Amico Ryans, he seems to have injected some life and some excitement into that franchise. And quarterback CJ Stroud, he is starting to look like he might be the real deal. The Texans legitimately might be on the rise. Unfortunately, they just have too many holes to fill. They can't be a true contender this year. The Texans can't run the ball, and that's going to be a problem eventually. Because as the stakes get higher, as we get into crunch time, people are going to start coming after CJ Stroud, knowing the running game isn't very good. But I will say this, I'm impressed with this young team. They look like they're headed in the right direction. They just need some more talent. I still think the New Orleans Saints can make the playoffs this year, but there's no way the Saints are going to win a title. They don't run the ball very well. So that means the Saints have to depend on Derek Carr at quarterback even more. When has that ever gone well? The NFC South, it is a really bad division, so I can see a team, maybe two teams, coming out of this division and getting into the playoffs. And maybe they squeak in, but the Saints aren't a very good football team. And whenever they face even a decent team, they lose. Sorry, that's who you're going to see in the playoffs. Better luck next year, New Orleans Saints. The Atlanta Falcons are currently on top of that division. They are in first place in the NFC South, but they're not winning anything either. Quarterback Desmond Ridder, I'm sorry, he's just not very good. And running back Bijan Robinson, he can't do it all. He was sick on Sunday, so he didn't play. They got to win, but the defense is below average. And while I think the Falcons can be in a battle for a playoff berth, they will be a very early exit if they make it, because they're just not very good. If the game comes down to Desmond Ridder having to make a play, we have pretty solid evidence he's not going to make it. Hey, maybe next year, get him some more playing time. The Carolina Panthers, they're not going to win Super Bowl 58 either. They currently look like the worst team in the NFL. Rookie quarterback Bryce Young, he's struggling. He doesn't have much help. The Panthers' defense is awful. They allow 31 points a game. So the offense has to overcome 31 points? There's no way. Yeah, the Carolina Panthers, you can start looking forward to the draft anytime now. One more team we will throw in here before we take a quick break, and that is the final team in the NFC South. Yes, I'm eliminating every team in the NFC South. I am talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that have actually been a little better than I expected, but that's only because I expected nothing whatsoever. Tampa is now sitting at 500. Not bad, but their only wins have come against bad teams. When they actually play playoff teams, they fold pretty easily. Plus, I mean, I think we can all agree, Baker Mayfield isn't winning a Super Bowl now or ever. Maybe someday when he's holding the clipboard and he has a better quarterback, then he could win one. He's not winning one anytime soon. Okay, coming back, we still have a few more teams that can begin looking forward to next year already, but then we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, next Tuesday is going to be Halloween, and I just want to prepare you for some costumes that just might sneak under your radar if you don't know what to look for. So let's finish off our teams that still have plenty of games remaining in the NFL, but they also can go ahead and start looking forward to next year, because it's pretty clear they're not going to win a Super Bowl this season. And let's move over to the AFC West, where the Las Vegas Raiders, yeah, they're not winning anything this year. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, it just seems like he's hurt every week. Comes back, gets hurt again. Comes back, gets hurt again. Dude is never healthy. Head coach Josh McDaniels, I don't know why. I'm told he's a smart guy. So why doesn't he have any idea when he should kick field goals or when he should go ahead and push for the first down? I don't get it. Wide receiver Devontae Adams is complaining, saying he doesn't get enough targets. But then on Sunday, he drops a touchdown pass. Hey, the Las Vegas Raiders, they're a mess. They're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think they can go ahead and start looking forward to next season. The Los Angeles Chargers, they should be a Super Bowl contender. They are talented enough to play with anyone in the NFL. But they are also underachieving enough to lose to anyone in the NFL. Want proof? Every year, somehow the Chargers can hang with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know how. They're not that good, but they do. Sometimes they beat them. They hung with them for a while on Sunday. But they also lose to, like, the Tennessee Titans. It makes no sense. Why aren't the Los Angeles Chargers better? Their roster looks like an all-star team. And I know They always have injury issues. I get it. But why aren't they better? And the only answer I can come up with is because of the Chargers. I don't know what else to say. They're not better. They're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. They never do. You know, my Denver Broncos, they're not winning anything this year. And by this year, it kind of feels like maybe anytime soon. The defense is the worst in the league. Let me repeat that. Because you might have heard me say the Denver Broncos defense is bad. That's not what I said. The Denver Broncos defense is the worst in the entire NFL. And honestly, it really isn't that close. I don't know how defensive coordinator Vance Joseph has a job. He doesn't seem to know what he's doing. He's always confused on the sideline. His players are always confused. They always seem to be out of position. And they always seem to be pointing like, you were supposed to be here. What were you doing over there? What is going on? They never know what's going on. And I have to think that comes from their coach. The only thing that is making any sense to me with Vance Joseph being the defensive coordinator is that Sean Payton is keeping him because he knows by keeping him, he guarantees this franchise a better draft pick. Honestly, it's the only thing that makes any sense to me. And it's also the only thing that lets me get any sleep at night. Because otherwise, it's just too much for me to absorb. The Denver Broncos aren't winning a thing anytime soon. The Los Angeles Rams, they're not going to win a Super Bowl this year either. You know, I think this is a team that could be dangerous, but they don't seem to have enough depth in a lot of key areas. If anyone goes down, this team is on the verge of a spiral. Hey, wide receiver Cooper Kupp, that dude is always hurt. I mean, he's not quite Michael Thomas from the Saints, but he's always like an eyelash for being out for the year. Do you realize the Rams are now starting Royce Freeman at running back? Really? That seems odd to me. What is that, their third, fourth, fifth choice? The defense gives up way too many yards on the ground. Sorry. The Rams aren't going to win anything this year. They can start looking forward to next year. Our final team that can begin looking forward to next season is the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals are proving to be far better than we thought because we all thought they were tanking going into the year, but they're still not good enough to actually win anything. Quarterback Josh Dobbs, he's scrappy. He's not very good, but he's scrappy. The Cardinals battle every week. Their defense plays hard, but they just don't have much talent. The Arizona Cardinals have a ton of work to do before they're actually going to win much of anything, and they just aren't there yet. So this leaves us right now with all the teams that we've just named with only 10 teams remaining. If you are counting at home, I still have the Buffalo Bills. I know, that's dicey. I have the Miami Dolphins. I have the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to keep the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. Not sold on everybody, but those are the teams I'm going to keep. In the NFC, I'm keeping the Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions, the Seattle Seahawks, and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, there's obviously a ton of football left to be played, but I believe our Super Bowl champion is coming from one of these 10 teams I just gave you. Everyone else? Hey, no big deal. You can just start looking forward to next year because you ain't winning nothing this year. That's just how it's going to be. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, next Tuesday, of course, is Halloween. Now, hopefully, you are going to a party. Or maybe you're going to visit a haunted house. You might be watching scary movies at home. Or, I mean, maybe you're just going to stick around and hand out candy to trick-or-treaters. But, if you're doing the latter, and you're just going to stay home, you're just going to be handing out candy, I want to give you a heads up. You know, sometimes, Halloween costumes, they're a little subtle. You don't quite notice exactly what they were going for. You're not exactly sure what you're looking at. You see a kid walking up. You're like, what are they dressed as? Fortunately, the Daily Dose is here to help you. If you answer the door and you aren't quite sure what the little ones are dressed as, there's a chance they are dressing up as a popular sports figure. You don't know it, but now we're going to help you. Again, you have to know what to look for. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is bringing you our 2023 Daily Dose Halloween costumes that you just might want to keep an eye out for, but you gotta look closely or you're gonna miss them. So we start off at number 5. And I'm going to tell you, you need to look for this clever costume because he or she will be carrying maybe some binoculars. They could even have maybe like a telescope. Not really sure. They might be wearing sunglasses or like a disguise. Maybe they got a fake mustache on. Maybe they got a wig on. Something like that. They could be carrying even a long-range camera of some kind. Are they a bird watcher? Or maybe a nature photographer? Nope. Is this some sort of covert spy they're going for? Kind of. What they're actually dressed as is Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh, who is now being accused of spying on teams and stealing their signals from the sideline. You know, you're allowed to watch film, but you can't go do it in person. So now we have yet another accusation against Harbaugh, because remember, he just got done serving a self-imposed suspension for some sort of illegal activity during COVID. Wasn't supposed to be doing that either. Violated some NCAA rules. He sat out for the first 3 games of this year. Now, what, he's doing something else? The key here is, always remember, look for the khakis. The khakis are going to be a dead giveaway. And Jim Harbaugh comes in at number 5. We arrive at our number 4 entry. And this one, I hate to go gender specific on this, but it's probably going to be young females wearing this costume. You know, the little, not quite teens, but a little bit older than little kids, that group. You know, they got the braces. They're trying to act more grown up. They're trying to do the hair, putting way too much makeup on. You know those kids. But this year, they'll be dressed a little bit different. They'll be wearing some NFL team gear. But the gear is going to look just a little bit off. And they're also going to be talking sports, but they're also going to sound a little bit off. You're going to be like, are these Canadians? What are they? They're weird. You're going to be like, that looks like an NFL fan, but they're off. They're saying things like, I hope we hit some touchdowns this week. Or let's go Patrick Mahomes. They're going to say things like that because they don't know what they're talking about. But again, here's the clue. They're going to have some knockoff Kansas City Chiefs gear. But it's not going to be real gear. It might say chefs. Or Kelsey on the back might be spelled K-E-L-S-I-E. So you have to know if you see that. You're not looking at Chiefs fans. No, no, no. These are Swifties. Yes, the Taylor Swift fans. And I'm telling you right now, you might think you can chase them off your porch, say, oh, you're too old for trick-or-treating, get out of here. I'm warning you, these psychos will burn your house to the ground. Do not underestimate the Swifties. They will be coming for you. They come in today on our list at number 4. At the number 3 spot, we have another subtle costume to look out for. Now, back when I was young, a very popular costume that you saw pretty much every year when you went trick-or-treating was the hobo, the bum, as they used to call him, whatever you want to call it. But you would see someone wearing, you know, the baggy jeans with the holes in them, the big baggy clothes. They might have a stick with a handkerchief where they were, you know, carrying some of their extra clothes in. Now, I guess that would be called like a homeless person. And you would probably be shunned by society if you dress that way for Halloween. But you just might see that costume come back this year. You're going to see the dirty clothes. You're going to see the down on their look in their eyes. The, I don't have a dime to my name. I'm broke. What can I do? I don't have a place to live. I don't have anything. But again, there's always one more clue to look for when you're looking for this costume. Because under that baggy shirt, you might see a San Francisco 49ers number 23 jersey. Or a Jets number 20 jersey. Or even a Tennessee Titans number 22 jersey. Kids, these aren't homeless people. They're NFL running backs. And they are no longer loved. They are down on their luck. They're having to do their jobs for pennies right now. And they come in today at number 3. We reached number 2 on our list of 2023 Halloween costumes to keep a lookout for. And this one, it's a little sneakier. It's a little sneakier than the rest of these. Because, again, this is a kid dressed full on in Kansas City Chiefs gear. I know, we already had one Chiefs deal. But you can spot that, because that's fake gear. This is real gear. They actually have the real Mahomes jersey. They have the real Travis Kelce jersey. Not knockoffs, the real deal. They have their face painted red and yellow. They are blatantly cheering for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are chirping about Chiefs Kingdom. They are talking about the Super Bowls and how they are rolling right now and the amazing job they're doing. They're asking for player autographs. They are going full on fanboy for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's the sneaky part you got to watch for. If you look under the Chiefs gear, you will notice that these little trick-or-treaters, they're not just wearing like a t-shirt underneath. They're wearing black and white stripes underneath. These aren't true Kansas City Chiefs fans. These are actually kids dressed as NFL referees, and it is so obvious. Once you see it, you're going to be like, oh, they got me. We know NFL refs are blatantly cheering for the Chiefs. It's not even close. They're not even being subtle about it in real life. These kids are a little bit smarter than the average because they know the deal. They know NFL refs, they're not even hiding who they're rooting for this year. But because you listen to the Daily Dose, you're not going to be able to spot them. NFL referees come in today on our list at number 2. So we reach the number 1 Halloween costume for the 2023 Halloween season that you need to be on the lookout for next Tuesday night. And we reach another little bit sneaky one. But we're going to let you know what to look for. Here's how to spot it. Our next kid is going to be wearing a big fur coat, maybe some sunglasses, and yes, a hoodie. They are going to be saying things like, look at me. You think I care what you think? Have you seen me? I'm amazing. They will be surrounded by mirrors so that they can look at their reflection at all times. Now, is this some sort of a movie star? Maybe some sort of a pop sensation? Well, there are a couple of tells that you need to look for here. One tell is that this isn't a person by themselves. They've got a group of them. And the other people in their party are going to be behind them. They're going to be, how can I explain this? They're going to be following this character, worshiping this character, eating any pieces of candy this character might drop behind them. Not unlike a barnacle feeding on the butt of a whale. Very similar. Those are the ESPN reporters. There's one more tell. Our number 1 entry walks with a limp, because they have the same number of toes as bad losses on the year. That's right, kids. Coach Prime is at your door. Be very, very aware this Halloween. Hey, next week on the Dose, I have something completely different for you. We are actually going to be looking at some NFL and some college football history. Trust me on this. Make sure you tune into the Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to listen. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. You absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week.